where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hello, Michelle. It's Erin. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I am doing well. So Twitter chat, that was pretty excellent last night.
Yes, that was. I was very excited. I've been going back over it and writing notes and pulling stuff out and thinking about what I can use in my class and in my book for Invisible Young Voices, and seeing who I need to get back a hold of and see what more information they can present or what have you.
I love it. Well, before we get going too far, where can we find you on the Twitter sphere?
I'm at INV Young Voices.
All right.
At Waters English.
Okay.
As well.
So are you going to be using both, or are you going to get rid of Atwaters English, or what are you thinking there?
I am using both. Waters English is my my business for selling lesson plans, and also I kind of keep in contact with students that way. And just it's my English stuff. Invisible Young Voices is the nonprofit that I've started. And I've started it, but I'm wanting it to grow beyond me. And so I'll be using that for the upcoming writing contest, for the teacher resources that we're producing, and the anthology we'll be putting together.
Excellent. So what was your favorite question last night?
My favorite question. Oh, my goodness. Let me pull those questions back up and take a look. Oh, my goodness.
I just thought it was excellent. I thought you did such a great job.
Thank you.
The biggest one I was looking for answers on are, what methods do you use to provide timely, actionable feedback?
Yes.
I was looking for answers on that one. I'm like, man, timely?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot I do is timely.
I think for me, kind of to answer that question, just sitting down with the students and with my laptop and them in Google Docs and me just commenting on stuff as I read through. And I mean, it's not like they need 15 comments on everything, but one or two comments, you know, this is where you need to go with this, and commenting on organization or ideas or voice in that initial go around will really significantly help the kids.
Awesome.
I would say one of my favorites, to answer your question, would be about the teacher grading.
And so was it your favorite because you were looking for information or because you found a lot of great wisdom in OCLA Ed?
I was looking for information. I found something, and what I had found was basically letting the students do a lot of the editing instead of me sitting down and going over the paper with a fine-tooth comb. I'm giving them a checklist for them to look for what they need to edit, and then I look it over and just kind of have my rubric internalized, and let's say their paper earns a C, and so I hand it back to them, and they need to look at the checklist to figure out why it earned that C and what they need to do to bring it up to an A. Because as far as I'm concerned, every last one of them should be able to earn an A on their paper.
Yeah, I like that.
And if somebody says, oh, I'm okay with a C, I'm going to say, oh, no, you're not. You're going to work on that, and you're going to get that A, because I know you can.
Excellent. And so was this your first Twitter chat to moderate?
It is not. I think it might be my second or third, somewhere along in there.
Okay.
Others I've done as Waters English.
Okay. So it was your first with the Invisible Voices. You had a tweet last night with Claudia that made me think, oh, has she never done this before? Like that you were nervous.
I'm always nervous before I present, before I host, the first day of school, but once I hit the ground running, I'm fine, but I'm always nervous right ahead of time. I guess stage fright, perhaps.
I think that's healthy. If you're
not
worried about it going in, maybe you should up the game, right?
There we go.
All right. Well, that is awesome. What can we look for out of this Twitter account? Will you be tweeting regular things? No, will you be tweeting regularly? What kind of tweets should we be looking for?
Yes, we will be tweeting semi-yearly. I hope you're editing this for, you know, weird sounds.
No, not editing at all.
I will be tweeting for or providing information to teachers to help them as they're looking for those hidden writers in their classes. I just finished my sixth year of teaching, and when I started, I wanted to be able to find those writers and encourage them and, you know, help them to be recognized, help them to grow, help them to be published, much like my teachers did for me. And I used to be a newspaper reporter and had been working in the newspaper industry at the scholastic, collegiate, and professional levels for eons. And it just kind of was blowing my mind that this wasn't happening with kids these days, possibly because of testing, lack of funding for school journalism, that sort of thing. And so I wanted to bring that to my kids, and it really just took me a long time to figure out how to do that. And I know Oklahoma Writing Project Summer Institute really helped me turn that corner, and the main, I guess, cornerstone that they provided was the Quick Write, which is where at the beginning of each class period, I give the kids 5 minutes to write to a prompt, and they need to write the entire time. If they don't know what to write, they can just say blah, 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 or they can repeat the last sentence, or just, you know, write how it is that they don't have an answer to that particular prompt or don't understand it or whatever the case may be. And, you know, sometimes I'll come around and look and ask them some questions to help get them going again or get them started. But what this does is it gives them several resources to pull from. And when we decide, okay, we're going to write a personal narrative essay or we're going to write an expository essay, they go back through these quick writes that I've enabled them to write and can select one of them to turn into that longer essay. It's kind of a brainstorming process. Yeah. And it also gives the students practice writing on a daily basis, and so they get better at it and can get those thoughts out of their head and onto paper. And so what I'm doing is putting together or writing a book that gives a blueprint to not only that process, but also my grading process, my feedback process, which my students have said has really helped them grow as writers because it tells them what they need to do in order to make it better, and then they sit down and do it. And so the book, when it is released in August, it'll be version 1.0, and we'll be providing it through a members area on the website. And so teachers will be able to go in and download it there and also find out more information about the upcoming contest. We'll be accepting entries in January, and we will have an award ceremony most likely in late April. I don't have a date nailed down on that yet, but I'm working on getting a venue. And then also we'll have an anthology of winning entries. So right now we're really looking for teachers to sign up or to register on the website so that way we can get them information and they can get started in August or whenever their year begins, getting the kids started writing and getting entries prepared. And of course we have some contest themes on the website. One of them is Injustice, another one is Fresh Voices, and a couple of other themes as well that kids can write to with some suggested prompts. And it's just all about finding those kids that maybe you wouldn't think was a writer, or those kids that maybe don't think of themselves as being writers, but they have a compelling story and a compelling voice, and they just need to get that out of their heads and onto paper and need to have the space to be heard.
I love that.
Thank you.
It is always so great to talk with Okla Ed, but I know that you are one of the elite members of the Fierce Women of Okla Ed hashtag. And it's great. It's just great to get together and hear, excuse me, you know, audibly some of these things come together. When we talk on Twitter, 140 characters can hardly do the trick sometimes. And so thank you for letting me interview you and take the time to hear you.
Not a problem. One of the other things that we're also going to be doing, and I know that I'm talking to teachers and teachers, you know, we don't have much in the way of funds, but maybe teachers know people who do. We'll be looking for donations to help fund everything that we're trying to do. but also sponsors who can sponsor one of the prizes. Like, I would love to be able to give a kid $500 for first place. I mean, what would that mean to a kid who maybe hasn't been encouraged to write before, to say, wow, you know, not only did I write and did I win, but I'm getting something tangible for this.
Yes.
And we're also going to put together an anthology, so that needs to, you know, we need to fund that. And then also our award ceremony that I'm planning on having somewhere in the Oklahoma City metro area. So just something to put out there if anybody knows anyone who wants to make a what will soon be a tax-free contribution, because we are filing for the 501c3 status.
Excellent. So get a hold of her either at INV Voices, INV Young Voices, correct?
Yeah.
And then, or at Waters English, if you've got a way to help her out there.
Yes, and you can also go to InvisibleYoungVoices.com, and we have a donate button, and we will have a sponsorship page up very soon.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right, welcome back to Oklahoma Said.
Mm-hmm.
It's the official Until Somebody Takes It Away From Us podcast of Oklahoma Ed.
ISTE version.
Man, you guys are ISTE!
Yep.
All right.
I just want to take one second to just...
I'm going to try not to cry.
Yeah, don't cry. And I just want to take 1 second and plug the conference for teachers that can't get down here. Work with your principal or your district technology folks and find some PD money to do it, because if you can send a small group of people from your school, like 2 or 3 or 4, or if you have a small enough district, that the ideas that you can get down here are so worth that investment. I can't even communicate effectively the quality of things that you can find here.
Well, that's excellent. I have been experimenting with the hashtag not at ISTE17.
I've done that a couple
and
times.
It's not bad. I mean, you get, I'm sure it's nowhere near, you know, what you guys are getting, but you get little nuggets, you get the sound bites and some links here and there. So it's all right. Mm-hmm. And then if you follow my Oklahoma Ed peeps on the Twitters or Instagram, they make you drink more beer because they're having fun without you.
Yeah,
but whatever.
I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
For me.
For you, Aaron.
Great.
I'm willing to go eat dinner. I haven't paid for dinner yet. That's another cool thing.
No, that's super awesome, too. Yes. Yeah. Vanessa Perez helped get things going the second night.
Yeah. The first official night, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Monday night.
And then who sponsored that one?
So Trinity... sponsored Trinity.
Trinity 3.
Gabbert Communications, I think.
All right.
And the OTA. So
that is fantastic.
Yeah. So we're super thankful for that, because it allowed there was roughly 45 people from Oklahoma that were able to have dinner together.
So fabulous.
Yeah, it was great, great, great. So we are thankful to those companies and OTA for sponsoring that, because I know it wasn't cheap.
Sure. But it's so thankful. Great. And I know that that was something on Vanessa's hit list for this year, starting last year, ISTE. She said, we need da 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 da, and she made it happen. So I'm really proud of her.
That girl, when she grabs a bull by the horns, it's going down. Like, when she's decided...
It's going down for real.
When she's decided, she and Vanessa's living the dream. Not only did she organize all that, it was awesome. She won a laptop.
A touchscreen laptop. Dell.
She won another little cool widget thing, which she apparently, I wish I could have seen it, knocked over some other lady to get. Yeah. And then she was touched by... Alice Keeler, who's like an EduCrush person of mine, who I would love to meet face to face one day and have coffee with and just sit and bask
in her
brilliance.
You need to make that happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. She's so stinking popular. I mean, I don't know
how.
I don't want to.
You knock somebody over and do it.
I know, but then I'd stand out for the crowd for the wrong reasons, and then security could get involved. I don't know. It just would be awkward for everybody. But enough about her. Let's talk about Invisible Young Voices.
Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle.
Yes. So she put together Invisible Young Voices. They're a not-for-profit company. There's a .com, and you'll hear all this in her interview. Invisible Young Voices helps students who might not otherwise find their voice in writing. And it was great. The chat was excellent. And you want to dive in?
I mean, bam, I think this is one of the most brilliant, insane ideas to come through in a while, giving kids this voice like this, like a platform.
Yeah, no, and it was great how many people were sharing and the ideas that came through. And this was a fabulous chat.
Indeed, indeed. So let's dive in. Question one.
Question one, research shows that HST, history prep has displaced writing in the classroom.
High stakes test prep.
I'm going to need you to start the whole thing over again. The whole time. No, not really. Not really. The whole night, I was thinking history. Mm-mm. No, Scott, seriously, for a couple of days now, it's been history in my head. And I was like, we've had a history test for a while, but I guess.
We had the one state school board member vote to keep it in there. No, high stakes testing. So there you go.
Thank you. So research shows that high stakes testing prep, not history, has displaced writing in the classroom. How has this affected your students? It didn't affect your students, Scott.
Not really. I hate to say
in your classroom.
Yeah, in my classroom. Well, math typically, there's not a large emphasis on writing in general. A lot of it's computational writing. So there is that thing. But also we're writing differently than you would write in English or social studies or a class like that. What I had started doing with my calculus kids, though, is I started having them blog. And I think we blogged 4 times in a semester. So I took the day and I was intentional. No matter where the kids were in class, I said, we're blogging today. You're going to write. You're going to write the whole hour. It needs to be good. You need to communicate it. I'm not checking grammar, but I need to understand your thoughts.
Yeah.
So we did it.
And it went well.
For the most, as far as I could tell.
Good.
Yeah. So, and especially the one where I had them blog there. I had them blog their parent-teacher conference. And so one of the moms came and I showed her son's blog and she started crying right there and she was so emotional about it. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's him. That's my son. And I started getting all choked up and I'm like, God, we have to have a conference now. We're both crying. This is not good.
That's really kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
She, I guess, lost touch with him and this was his voice at that point?
I think just the way he had written it by him for his mom. And
yeah,
it was really a personal thing for her. And so the fact that it touched her in that way made me super excited.
Well, I've heard it said before, and I know I've heard you say, you know, what happened at school today? Nothing. Mm-hmm. What did you learn? Nothing. It's fine. And so when you get these one word sentences for so long, probably, you know, reading that and hearing her son speak, even through text, was awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. What'd you find?
I liked what Miss Malo, and she is at LS Malo, said. She said, students have lost the idea about writing, about what writing is. They think that it's only test prep. It's not a way to express themselves. And that sucks. And now I'm seeing why test prep was mentioned so many times around this history test. Sheesh.
Mm-hmm. Rick Cobb, who is at Grindel Rick, said, high stakes testing prep has replaced, and he said this in all caps, all the things to an extent. It's not a life skill. And I think that's really important because we're trying to use this to measure, quote unquote, how successful a student can be or how much they've learned. But and I think this is critical what Rick said. It is not a life skill, but writing still is.
But writing still is.
Yeah.
And I mean, how much are you writing these days?
Right.
I'm a lot. A lot.
I'm writing a lot.
Indeed.
And I guess I don't mind writing my dissertation, but I don't enjoy it as much as I did writing for me, which was when I was able to blog about what was going on in my class or ideas that I had or things that you could do with technology. I cannot wait to get back to that stuff.
I saw that you put out a couple podcasts.
I did. And as soon as I get off with you this evening, I'll do another recap podcast and blog post. So
that's so awesome. thank you.
You're welcome. For that. It's you and Mama. listening to, you know what? I met somebody down here who is listening to Okla Said, so we're up to three listeners, Aaron. Both our moms.
Your mom,
and this,
my mom, Vanessa, and then this person.
Yeah, four. We're up to four.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We should celebrate when we hit five.
I agree. Drinks on me when we hit the five. Question two.
Okay.
What methods have you used to help students see the value in writing, practicing frequently beyond just your classroom and school? I didn't have much here, except maybe writing for an authentic audience, you know, and I referenced my student who wrote the parent-teacher conference to his mom.
Yeah, no, that's pretty awesome.
I've
had my kids blogging this year, and their audience, I basically told them if they do good stuff, we pick the best one and I'll share it out on Twitter. And Okla Ed is their audience. And so they're trying to be storytellers. They're trying to do all kinds of stuff to grab the attention of the teachers out there and see if they can get a comment or two. So
cool.
They were really excited about that.
Awesome.
TK, and she is at Science Teach TK. She said, our free response notebooks have been awesome. I don't grade them. We discuss in class, but it's practice, practice, practice.
That's
so
really great.
What do you think about not grading writing?
I think it, I mean, isn't that a question that we're going to get to later? But
oh, yeah, maybe. Yes.
I can't grade writing for grammar because my grammar is stinky. So
that's what I was going to say. I mean, you see, I abuse the dot, dot, dots, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Those are called ellipses or something like that, by the way.
Oh, I thought the ellipses were the three.
That's the dot, dot, dot.
No, I thought they were the three parentheses things.
So, Aaron Baker, he is at Baker left.
What did Aaron say?
He said, I say this almost on a daily basis. People who change the world have to do two things. One, read a lot, and two, write about it. And if you read Aaron's blog, he does practice what he says right there. Whether you agree with what he's written or not, he does read a lot. It's clear. And he's writing about that. So, bam.
Yeah, no. And he, I mean, he practices what he preaches, and that's fabulous.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Question number three. What methods do you use to provide timely, actionable feedback to students on their writing? And so on this one, I was looking for answers, because timely, I am not. It's
hard
to read.
You'll get
all
your
those things.
September essay by Christmas.
I mean, is 7 to 10 days okay? That's about the turnaround?
I don't know. I feel like somewhere I heard that you needed to do it in like 24 hours or something like that. But I don't want to read 120 essays in 24 hours. How can I give you good feedback?
Oh, there's a great one about that later coming up too.
Okay, okay.
But I liked what Angela Clark Little said, and she is at Ange M. Little. She said class parents will gladly help with this when asked.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I was like, oh, that's a great idea. But then I don't know what kind of, I mean, I guess if you hand them the rubric, then that's okay. Right.
Well,
but
you'd probably
wouldn't
have
want
to,
them to be subjective.
Right. You'd have to give them a rubric. And I guess if you're looking for feedback, that's one thing instead of a grade, you probably
right.
would have to take some care with the student identity.
Sure.
As well, but
I like that she was ready and willing to help out with that.
I mean, I wonder how many parents you could get that would say, you know what, I'd read three things tonight and give feedback on it. And then
yeah.
the other thing from that, all that is if you can protect your students' anonymity, that allows the parents to know what's going on in your classroom, which is kind of cool. Aren't we always trying to do
yeah.
that anyway? So
no, I think that's great too.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay, so I like the answer even more now.
Yeah, there you go. Susan Ray, who is at Susan with a Z, Ray, W-R-A-Y, she said, I grade notebooks weekly and respond to writings. They share writings with each other as they are trying to form a consensus. I thought that was really interesting, yeah. I guess my response to question three, too, is authentic audience. If I'm writing my blog post, I know it's not going to be perfect because I am Scott Hazelwood with grammar issues and all, and my English friends are going to look at it and point out faux pas after faux pas. But at the same time, I am writing for me, and I know that if other people may read it, I try and polish it as much as I can before I submit it to be published on the interwebs.
All right. All right. So I like that.
Yeah. Question four all says, right. Lots of student writing equals lots of teacher grading, or does it? What strategies do you use to keep from drowning in essays? And I don't teach English because of this thing, right? This was the big reason why I didn't pursue English with a passion. You went into math. I can learn the parts of speech and all of that. There's like 12 of them, I think. So that's not a problem. But holy smokes, I didn't want to grade 120 student essays. Like, that doesn't sound good.
Sheesh. Rick Cobb had said here, he said, in essays is actually my favorite way to drown. I love reading, so I might as well read what students write. And then he and I started a Twitter thread after that. I asked him if he wanted to be my teacher's assistant, if I could hire him to be my teacher's assistant next year.
Because he's got free time.
Yeah, he said, well, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, it'd be a little less stress, you know, you won't have any phone calls to take or anything like that. He said, can you afford me? I said, probably not. Probably not.
I love at Claudia Swisher. I edu crush Claudia too. I don't get to see her very often, but she's right up there with her, just her passion for education. I mean, if you can't see her passion for education, even as a retired teacher, you're doing it all wrong.
For but, sure.
She said, what if we had students choose a certain number of pieces for us to grade? They could write and pick the good stuff to be assessed. And I was like,
oh, damn, that's good.
No, I went to the copy and paste this in here and saw you already had it. And I wasn't going to cheat again this week. So, but that was such a fabulous tweet. I like it. I mean, how, you know, let the grade be worth 5 essays over the course of the year or whatever. And I don't know how many is a good number, but.
I come back to the whole blog thing. You know how much stuff I write that I don't share? And I pick what I share. And yeah. And when people read it, they're reviewing it in their own. They're grading me.
Yes.
English teachers are looking at the going, misplaced comma, dangling participle, wrong gerund, passive voice. Like, and so what if we gave that to students? What if we gave students some choice with what they turned in? Crazy thinking. But you know what? I did it. It can work.
I like it. All right, question 5. Do you separate grading for ideas, organization, and voice from grading for grammar, usage, mechanics? Why? Why not?
Yep.
And so, I got a big fat nothing. Think you do.
Yeah,
well,
zero.
I mean, you've kind of given a little bit here and there.
Right.
I do think the idea carries weight.
Right.
I've seen students go from, I mean, telling it in their point of view to speaking from a book's point of view, you know, and just taking a totally different approach on things. And that's fabulous. I love outside of the box thinking.
Yes.
But as far as spelling and stuff like that, I'm pretty darn relaxed on.
I
figure the little red squiggly line will get them later.
Right. And as far as grammar goes, I never really graded that unless it was just gross awful. She
right.
done went down to the Walmarts and got herself some stuff. Like, I can't, you know, I can't do that. I'm helping you. But if you put together a good coherent thought and you've got a misspelling or two, I might say, check your spelling, or I think this thought is good, but can you say it differently? Anyway, I don't know. That's just kind of
how Robert Ward. He is at rewarding.edu, said differentiate essay grading by what each student needs to move forward, bit by bit, their entire writing outlook and performance improves. And so this is kind of a personalized approach or an individualized approach to essay grading. And you kind of are seeing what this student needs and how they can get better versus what this student needs and how they can get better. And I think that goes all the way back to, gosh, I want to say Travis Sloat was talking about writing and just making sure they can write an email at the end of it, a resume at the end of this.
Right.
And, you know, one kid may need some of that grammar and mechanics grading because he's got content out the wazoo. But the next kid may need, like you said, a little bit of grace on that and get the story plot in the right order.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I like that idea.
Speaking of story plot, have you ever messed with story cubes?
I've got them. I haven't messed with them, no.
Oh, okay, so you can get an app for a couple bucks, or you can go down to the local Walmart or Target and get them for, I think, $8 or something like that. But they're like 9 or 10 or 12 cubes, I can't remember. And you roll them out, and they land on these certain little icons, and you group them together, and it gives you a story.
And so have you played with them?
Yes.
I really do own a set. They're sitting in my
Roll them out. Okay, roll them out. You go to the buffet, you eat some food, and then you roll out your story cubes here in a little while with your daughters, and you go, let's make a story out of what showed up. Beginning, middle, end, bam. English lesson, they didn't even see it coming.
Bam.
Bam.
Like a little game.
That's right. I went back to Susan Ray again because she had a couple tweets that really caught my eye. This one says, students know I teach science and wouldn't mess them up by grading grammar. And then she sent the little emoji of the straight line smiley face. Yeah,
yes.
That one. But she said, however, I find most use correct usage grammar anyway.
Good.
So there you go.
Very, very good.
Question 6, how do you make sure students are recognized for their writing, publication, contests? What else?
So there were some really great things here, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't even... I had KidBlog. Well, KidBlog was free. It's not free anymore, but it's still a great resource if you can find funding for it. And that's how we published.
So we're using Blogger.
Yeah.
And if you've got the Google Suite...
You should have it.
It's already set up. Yeah. I mean, it takes just a second to put it together. So we're using Blogger, and it's a part of our suite there. And the kids love that. I've got kids who are asking to write on the weekends when they were reluctant readers and writers in the first place. And
bam.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
I know. They just want to put it out. It's like their version of social media without, you know, some of them don't have cell phones. They're fourth graders. And that's kind of their way of putting things out there.
Amazing.
They like it. I went with Robert Ward again. You did Susan Ray a couple of times. I picked a second tweet here. He said the best recognition is looking a student in the eye and saying how much their writing moved you or how creative or how insightful it was. Wow.
By the way, I think Robert joined us from California, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I thought he looked like a new guy.
Yep.
But he was doing some good stuff.
Jason Bings, who is at Jason Bings, and I believe he's from hashtag CPS Reds, he said, we created a wiki in my science class that students posted to for each concept.
Wow.
That's good for a lot of reasons. And the one of which is writing for that authentic audience and making sure that students could see each other's work. But
right.
On the flip side, now they're building this database of knowledge
right.
that they can use
that's
the whole class.
Awesome.
Yeah. Boom. That was a good one.
That's like a skill.
Yeah.
That's wicked awesome.
Yeah. Really cool.
All right. Well, question 7, describe the most meaningful writing projects in which students were highly engaged, saw as meaningful, or in which you saw student growth.
Well,
is this the one where I said
I had
that
I had this kid write a blog post to his mom for parent-teacher conferences?
Tell me how that went.
It went really good. We were both crying.
I'm just kidding.
It was all over.
We were both crying. So Claudia Swisher said, to be meaningful, writing must be real, for a purpose, for an audience, to solve a problem, to share your heart, not to pass a state test.
Double stampsies.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I said something like, suck it, OCCT, and non-EOIs.
Indeedly. Travis Sloat, who is at T-Style 77, said, my ninth graders do a poetry slam unit. At the end, they perform. I have chills now thinking about the first year. Incredible.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I really love poetry slams.
Yeah. Or any slam.
Yeah. No,
just,
comedy slam.
Okay.
The freestyle rapping.
Along these lines, you know, poetry slam, which is, you know, if you're doing a poetry slam, you're not reciting something that's 35 minutes long, right?
Right.
So So along these lines, and it hadn't even dawned on me until I was talking with a teacher yesterday. I think part of the thing from a conference like this is just the conversations you can have.
Yeah.
And I was talking with an educator the other day, and they go, think about if we had our kids do Ignite presentations to the class. Well, what's an Ignite presentation? It's you have 5 minutes to do 20 slides. And the slides are low text. So it's big on images, low on text, 5 minutes. You can't go over time. I think each slide, it breaks down to 20 seconds per slide.
Okay.
And so you have your kids do that.
Boom. So in Austin, Texas, at iPad Palooza OU, they had a poetry slam, which was wicked awesome. But the final presentation, each time they got rid of a couple of people, and the final presentation was a 7-slide Tumblr Ignite talk. Mm. And the audience chose what they were looking for. And mm-hmm. so shoelaces. I really wanted shoelaces to be called out. I was yelling shoelaces. But they went with something like paper. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, and so they get 7 slides and no words, and they had to, on the fly, create an Ignite session, which was pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. Question 8, what workshops or PD have you attended that has helped you to become a better writing teacher? Pretty much nothing.
I did one via CD. I ordered the CDs for Excellence in Writing, and I thought that one was pretty darn good. I think the guy is funny. My kids think he's a goof, but I really like the Excellence in Writing. Hmm. Jason Bings, who we said a minute ago, he said Wes Fryer's Story Chasers workshop, digital storytelling, was very beneficial. He said, but it has been about 8 years since he attended that.
I almost chose that tweet.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Story Chasers, I think Wes has been hooked up with them for a while. I think Anne does something maybe with that.
Yeah,
also?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Okay. So I liked that tweet. It makes me want to go to one of those workshops.
Yeah, though. We saw some on the expo floor, some really good digital storytelling packages that were either freemium or fairly affordable, depending on what you chose to do. Fascinating.
Wow, cool.
I think there's a lot of power in giving students the opportunity to do digital storytelling as part of their learning.
Well, and several schools are going to a portfolio style writing assessment, keeping portfolios over the years for these kiddos now, and I love that idea.
Yeah, it's great. Kimberly Blodgett, who is at Kimber Blodgett, said, none that focus primarily on writing, but all have taught me to incorporate writing, which is the point. And I think I'm probably more in Kimberly's PD camp there, because as a math teacher, I understood that writing was important, but I needed really to focus and sharpen my skills on teaching math concepts.
Right.
Yes, writing is important, but I can't help my kids be a better writer. I'm not an expert there, but I can't help them with their math.
Right.
So that was kind of how I looked at it. Just like I don't expect an English teacher to help their students with their math skills necessarily, but can I use the skills that my English teachers are teaching my students in math class? You better believe I can. So
yeah,
it kind of it's all one big symbiotic, you complete me kind of circle.
I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. Question 9. If you are a writer, how can you incorporate your own writing into your class to help students connect writing to real world connections? So my kids, I did give them access to my blog. I gave them access to one post to see it.
Okay.
They then, however, went back, and it did embarrass me a little because I have gotten potty mouthed before. And so it's kept me in check on my language. But definitely, I mean, my kids know that I blog, and I show them that I was trying to practice what I preached as well.
And sometimes you just need to be raw with how you feel on your blog. I'm not saying that as a teacher and somebody like that, you need to be a potty mouth all the time. But I think sometimes, without it being intensely profane, a potty word or two can show the frustration that you have with a specific situation or other.
Right.
With the understanding that your parents might read that, and are you okay with that?
Now I am. Oh, boy. I liked what Stephanie Heim had to say here, and she is at Mrs. Heim. She said, I shared my blog with my class and parents each week. And, you know, I think that that's awesome. I mean, the more your kids can see you doing this and that it is real, I think that that's fabulous.
Yeah, she shared it every week. I mean, it came up in the Oakland Ed Twitter column on my tweet deck every week. It was in there.
Yeah.
Which is really great. TK, who is at Science Teach TK, said, I share this strategy with them each semester also. And I think, I'm wondering if, I feel like maybe I missed something. Let me pull this Twitter up, because I feel like something's missing. Talk amongst yourselves, Aaron, while I pull up the Twitter. Because so I'm pretty sure it's in response to...
I was thinking about getting my eyebrows waxed.
Okay. Our audience didn't really need to know that. Here's
you told
here's,
me to talk against myself.
No, so here's what it was. She actually shared a picture, and it said, your writing style may be to barf on a piece of paper. Then you think, well, this is crap, but your ideas are there. Like, you've thrown up all these words. So your ideas are there. Now let's go clean it up. And that's why I like that. I share the strategy with them.
I like that. I think that was... What Michelle was talking about, the quick writes. You just get it all out, and then we'll come back later and organize.
There's a couple of my most favorite blog posts have been those kind of things where I've just vomited up words.
Oh, yeah.
And come back and just clean it up a little bit to make sure that it's not going to sound like I'm a complete weirdo, you know, when I hit the publish button. So, yeah, I love that. Question 10, if you don't already write, what can you do this summer to incorporate writing into your daily life and teaching practice?
So, I journal. I love journaling. I've got three working journals at the same time, which I should probably not do. But they've got, they each serve different purposes, and one of them I carry with me all the time.
Okay.
But I loved what Aaron Baker said here, and he said, write something radical. And he put that in quotes because he was kind of
tongue-in-cheeking it, I think.
About there, yes. Mm-hmm. He says, when I write, I want eyebrows raised. And I think he does. Mm-hmm. He does write radically. And I think that that's okay. Knowing that you're going to probably tick some people off here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even that radical, and I tick people off. But I like that... he has got passion.
Spoonvision.wordpress.com.
Yep. Yep.
Steve Gilliland, who is at STV_Gilliland, he said, considering giving blogging a shot, and where I'm like, amen, brother, you got to do it.
Do it.
My whole thing, honestly, is, and it goes back to something that Jason James said, shared a couple weeks ago, which I have shared previously before that. If you're not telling your story, who's telling it? And blogging is the easiest way for you to tell your story. And you could be listening going, well, Scott and Aaron, I don't really have a story. No, you do have a story. You have struggles in your class that you are dealing with. Guess what? Other people have that struggle too, and maybe they've found a way to overcome that struggle. You can blog about it. Or maybe you have a crazy idea that you want to do. You blog about it. Or maybe your kids did something awesome. You blog about it. Or maybe you had this lesson that just went great. You blog about it. I mean, you can blog about so many things. But you have to share your story. Oh, my goodness.
I love your passion about blogging.
Boy, I almost got up on my soapbox. Did you see that?
I did. I wish everybody else could have seen it, too.
Yeah.
Scott, what was your favorite question?
Question 10.
I could tell.
Yeah, could you tell? If you don't already write, what can you do this summer to incorporate writing into your daily life and teaching practice?
Start.
Oh, my goodness.
Start now.
Yes. And you know what? And not to keep going, but you can create a Tumblr account.
Going.
You can create a Tumblr account in like 2 minutes. Super easy. And it allows all kinds of media to be uploaded really quickly, really easily. You can virtually remain anonymous if you're worried about that. As far as they can't trace that specific Tumblr back to Aaron Barnes or Scott Hazelwood if you don't want them to. And gosh, it's just you can do it right from your phone by using audio or video. You can just, okay. Aaron, what was your favorite question?
I liked the one about lots of students writing lots of grading, just because it was fun conversing with Rick about being in a fantasy world, him being my teacher's assistant.
Right.
It'd be fun. We'd have some fun.
It would be great.
Boom sauce tweet of the night.
Aaron Baker.
Well, yeah.
From Ed Baker Left.
Yeah.
He retweeted it was related to him, the question number 9. He said, "I'm writing to change the world. I want students to see me in that process of care and struggle. Then, what do they want to change?" And if you will read Aaron, you can feel in his writing exactly what he tweeted just right here.
Yeah, no. Yes, he's got that passion. He is fired up right now.
Indeed.
My boom sauce tweet of the night happened around question 10 whenever about journaling. I mentioned that Austin Kleon had a new journal out and it was super fun to play with, and Claudia got involved and she's like, "Ooh, tell me about it." And so I took a few pictures and then threw it up there on a tweet, and then he got on and liked it, and then he got on and it's his tweet, so I apologize, Okla Ed, but he said, "Tell it all the stuff you shouldn't tell Twitter." And I just thought that was super funny. And it was super fun to get somebody, you know, who's out there in the EDU world, my mm-hmm. EDU crush, to come in and be a part of our chat for a second and get involved.
So he wrote a book called Steal Like an Artist, which I thought was really good.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
And he wrote another book, which I can't remember if I finished it or not. I can't. 10 Things Creative People Do or something like that.
I don't have that one now.
I've read two of them. I can't remember the second one. Okay. But Steal Like an Artist I thought was really good.
Oh, I have Steal Like an Artist and now the Steal Like an Artist Journal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's an easy book to read.
Next week?
Yep, next week.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you can like read like 3 pages, put it away, and come back a month later and right. still be fine with yep. where you're at.
Yep.
Next week is Kenneth Ward.
God, I love Kenny Ward.
He's got some passion too.
Oh my goodness.
I'm excited.
He's got lots of passion.
And so his topic is, are we prepping students for after graduation?
That's a good question.
You know,
question.
We've got this huge college and career push.
Mm-hmm.
Are they college ready? Are they career ready?
Are they?
I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find out how much we know about it too, I'm sure.
Indeed. That happens. When does that happen, Aaron? I can't remember.
You are so short-term memory. 8 p.m. on Sundays.
8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Every Sunday,
except Christmas. It's the only time that we haven't tweeted since 2013. Did you know that?
I think we've said it a couple of times in this podcast, actually.
I know a guy that's doing some research into Okla Ed.
What's he got to say?
You know how many tweets there have been from the first use of the Okla Ed hashtag until February of this year?
Tell me.
There were almost, it was really close, 224,000 tweets.
Wow. 224,000.
Yeah, from 2013 to the first 2 months of 2017. How about that?
Wow. That's amazing. That's a lot of tweets. And yeah. I don't know if we've said this before, but that probably doesn't catch the one-off tweets like Rick and I. Like
it doesn't
Austin,
catch those.
You know,
right.
It doesn't catch those.
It only just looked for the hashtag OklaEd for the things that we did.
We've done some pretty amazing things in this hashtag.
It's because this group of folks is amazeballs. Hashtag
yeah.
amazeballs.
All right.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Aaron Barnes, whenever you are ready, you may commence with the Okla Ed chatting of Okla Said.
You got it right on the first take. Well done.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Oh.